And welcome to the 2 o'clock shiur for Tanakh in a Day, Jews and non-Jews in a Tanakh. I want to thank everyone who has stayed so far, as well as those who have just arrived. The program overall for the day is sponsored by David and Serena Koshitsky in memory of Rima Koshitsky, Zichrona Lebracha. And this session is dedicated by Rina and Irving Gottesman in honor of their grandchildren, Ezra, Ariella, Jackson, Tyler, and Dylan. May they be blessed with always wanting to learn more. And it is also dedicated by Diana and Ricky Zauderer. Thank you very much for the dedications. So we've been moving through Tanakh in the course of the day, and we are now up to Yeshayahu chapter 23. Idan spoke about chapter 11. This is chapter 23 in Yeshaya, but I chose not to have you look at the Tanakh. Instead, I gave you the sentences I'm using on the source sheet, because I'm going to be jumping around a lot in Tanakh, and it's just easier than having people spend half an hour flipping pages. So we're talking about a nation called, in Hebrew, Tsor. In English, we tend to call them Tyre, T-Y-R-E. Who are they? Well, various commentators note, first of all, that there are two nations. One is called Tyre, and the other one is called Sidon. And they get lumped together a lot, and they're basically considered to be the same. Rashi says that in Yeshayahu 3 of Arbanel. Not everybody agrees, because commentaries on Tanakh tend to be independent thinking, and therefore the Malbim disagrees, and he says they're different. But everybody else is very comfortable saying that Tsor, Tyre, and Sidon are fundamentally the same. They live on, well, let me start with their genealogy. If you take a look at source number 1 from Bereishit, we don't actually know where Tsor comes from in Bereishit, meaning when we get the list of 70 nations that descend from Noach, Tsor, Tyre, is not on the list. Sidon is on the list, and that's what I showed you here. And Canaan produced Sidon, his firstborn, as well as Chet. Chet, of course, ancestor of the Hittites, and Canaan, we talked about Canaan in the 1130 shir, ancestor of the Canaanim. And the Canaanite border was from Sidon. Sorry? The Canaanite border was from Sidon, and that's an area up north on the Phoenician coast. That's where they are found. Northern edge of Israel today, it's Lebanon. Their identity in Tanakh is of merchants. They are very safe and secure, living up north, doing very nicely for themselves. So if you take a look at source number 2 from Yechezkel chapter 27, where Yechezkel is given a message, tell Tyre, who dwells on the entrances of the sea, merchant of the nations to many islands, in the heart of the seas is your boundary, and so on. They are a seafaring nation. They are traders, T-R-A-D-E-R-S. We will see another trader thing in a little bit. But they're basically doing just fine. If you're familiar with the story, we covered it in Tanakh in a Day a few years ago, the story of Pesel Micha, in which the tribe of Dun goes up north and conquers territory for themselves up north. That's actually in the land of Sidon, but that's another story, which in some ways could relate here, but it's not going to, because it won't fit in half an hour. So this is just introduction, right? Tyre is up north. They are descendants of Canaan. Tsor, Sidon, they're together as one unit. Here's the problem. At first, in Tanakh, they seem to be good friends of ours. They seem like the best neighbors you could possibly want. Take a look at source number 3. Shmuel Bet, chapter 5. This is when David has become the undisputed king of the Jewish people. Shaul is gone. Shaul's son Ish-bosheth is gone. And David is now king. And we're told, Hiram, king of Tyre, sent agents to David and cedarwood and carpenters and stoneworkers, and they built a home for David. They built a palace for David HaMelech. You also find it in Divrei Hayamim, Aleph, chapter 14. Interestingly, it looks like David didn't ask. It was just like, hey, I'm your neighbor. We're really good with wood. We're going to build something for you. You'll like it. That's what this looks like. Rabbi Yitzhak Levi suggests that it could be because who was David's main enemy? Who did David fight the most? The Philistines, the Plishtim, exactly. How did the Plishtim make their money? What were the Plishtim? Seafaring, correct. They had come originally from the area up by Greece and Turkey, right? They are seafaring merchants. And so Rabbi Yitzchak Levi speculates that this is a case of enemy of my enemy, right? If David is fighting the Plishtim, then Tyre wants to make nice to David. That seems to be the logic. It's an interesting idea in any case. But however you slice it, because we're going to see other motivations for Hiram. Hiram says, David, I'm making you a palace. And not only that, but his friendship extends to David's son, Shlomo. Take a look, please, at source number 4. This is when Shlomo is now king. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Shlomo, Solomon, for he had heard they had anointed him as king in place of his father. For Hiram loved David always. And there was peace between Hiram and Shlomo, and the two of them made a covenant. There was an alliance between her and the Jews living under Shlomo. Radak says that Hiram is looking to perpetuate the relationship he had with David with Shlomo. Abarbanel actually has an added note. Abarbanel says that this is what kings do to console another king on the loss of his father. He's sending consolation to Shlomo for the loss of David, right? Think of the way David did that for King Nachash in Ammon, although that didn't work out so well. But he sent a condolence mission to the son of King Nachash in Ammon. It's possible to argue that there's another reason why Hiram sent messengers to Shlomo. Depends a little bit on chronology. It's a little bit tricky. But basically, we find out later on in the book of Malachim that Shlomo and Hiram engage in some form of commercial shipping together. They send out goods, and they buy things elsewhere. They do trading together. That's recorded later in Malachim. However, according to Abarbanel, those missions actually occurred earlier, and Shlomo used them in order to amass the wealth that he would use to build the Beis HaMikdash. Because Shlomo doesn't use what his father left him to build. Shlomo uses his own materials. So if you take that view of Abarbanel, then actually their trade missions happened before this. Happened before what you just read in source number 4. I don't want to get caught up in that. It's just an interesting thought as to why Hiram reached out. My point right now is Hiram of Tyre has a close connection to David and a close connection to Shlomo, and they even make a brit. They make a covenant. Those who were here for the discussion that Rabbi Gottlieb had about the Canaanite nations and the time of Yahushua don't need to worry because these weren't Canaanites. So they may be descendants of Canaan, but they're not of the Sevenites. They're not on that list of the nations with whom you're not allowed to make a covenant. And not only that, they're not idolatrous. Hiram is not an idolater, apparently. I didn't bring it on the sheet, which is my oversight, but I will read it to you here from Kings 1, chapter 5, sentence 21. If you have a Tanakh, you can look it up in Malachim Aleph, Perek Hey. Vayhi chishmoa Hiram es divrei Shlomo, chapter 5, sentence 21. Hiram heard what Shlomo said about building the Beis HaMikdash, and he was very happy. And listen to this. Vayomer, he said, Baruch Hashem. That's how he starts off. Baruch Hashem Hayomer Shenasan LeDavid Bein Chacham Ala'am Harav Hazeh. He says, blessed is God who gave David such a wise son over this great nation. So Hiram is wonderful. Everything here sounds great right now. There is a little bit of a strange story. Some of you I see here learned Malachim with me last year. So you're already thinking about this story. The story of the land swap between Tzor and the Jews. If you take a look at source number 5, this is really strange. Radak and Ralbag view what happened here as some kind of an attempt to cement ties between Tyre and the Jews. Take a look. Then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the Galil. Hiram left Tyre to see the cities Solomon gave him. They were not fit in his eyes. He said, what are these cities you have given me, my brother? And he called them the land of Kabul to this day. There's a lot to say about why he didn't like these cities, what exactly was wrong with them. The commentators discuss this at length. Abarbanel, as usual, has his own take on it. But I'm showing you right now that Shlomo is giving him either ownership of 20 cities or the produce of 20 cities, and in Divrei Hayamim, in Chronicles, you get the last line in source number 5, the cities that Hiram gave to Shlomo, Shlomo built them up and he settled Jews there. In other words, Hiram gave Shlomo cities. So that Radak suggests and Ralbag suggests that they were actually trying to cement ties by exchanging cities. And then, as I mentioned earlier, it's now in source number 6, they went together on trade expeditions as well. So right now, pausing the story here, Tyre and the Jews, awesome, right? How often do you see in Tanakh that the Jews actually have an ally? Right. I mean, this is like, stop the story here. I don't want to read further. I'm good. Let's skip to the 2:30 class. But it's not going to work that way.
No.
Because later on, without a clear moment that breaks the relationship, Tyre is condemned. And that brings me to Yeshaya chapter 23. It's really the whole chapter, but I didn't want to translate the whole chapter on the sheet. But if you have a Tanakh, you can see the whole thing. Take a look at source number 7. A masa upon Tyre. Masa is often a term for a prophecy that is negative. That's a warning of punishment. This is a masa, a burden, to translate it literally, upon Tyre. Wail, cry, boats of Tarshish, for it is despoiled. Tarshish is not Tyre, but it's saying, cry, you trading partners of Tyre, because Tyre is despoiled. Who has planned this upon Tyre, the crown city, whose merchants were nobles, whose peddlers were the honored of the land? Hashem, master of multitudes, planned this to desecrate the power of all desire, to bring shame upon all of the honored of the land. God is tearing down Sor. God wants to get rid of Sor. It's a magnificent chapter if you're not Tyre, right? You know, it happens to be a remarkable read. It is the last of Yeshaya's messages. Yeshaya has 13 chapters. No, not 13 chapters, 13 messages. It's chapters 13 to 23 in which he describes punishment befalling various parties. This is the last one. The punishment that's going to fall upon Tyre. And that's the question, is why. That's why we're here. Before we see why, Yoel says it. Take a look at Yoel in source number 8. This is from Treasar, the 12 smaller books of prophecy found at the end of the prophets. Yoel says, and also, what are you to me, to God, Tyre and Sidon and all the regions of the Philistines? Are you paying them back for me? And if you are paying back for me, I will swiftly bring back your payback upon your own heads. In other words, what he's saying is, Tyre, you've been harming the Jews. Are you harming the Jews because they strayed from following my commands? If that's what you think you're doing, I'm going to punish you. You have taken my silver and gold, you brought my treasures into your palaces, the Judeans and Jerusalemites you have sold to the sons of the Greeks to distance them from their land. I will bring them back from the place to which you sold them, I will return your payback upon your heads. Yoel starts to tell us a little bit about what it is that Tyre did. They betrayed us to others. We're going to come back to that. Amos, also from Treasar, in source number 9, talks about the 3 sins of Tyre, and for the 4th I will not turn them back, for sealing a total exile to Edom. They did not remember the covenant of brothers. They sent us away to the Edomites. I will send fire upon the wall of Tyre, and it will consume her palaces. Flip to source number 10 on the next page. Yechezkel. Long, long critique of Tyre. 3 chapters, 26 through 28. I just brought you a little bit. He accuses them of egging on the Churban, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the temple. Yechezkel is speaking at the time of the destruction. And he says, if you look at source number 10, because Tyre declared upon Jerusalem, aha, the one who was the gateway of the nations is broken. She has turned to me. I will be filled by the ruined one. In other words said, Jerusalem's downfall is going to help me. I am going to profit from the fall of Jerusalem. So the message is, tell the leader of Tyre, so declares Hashem, because your heart was haughty. You said, I am a god. I have dwelled in the place of God in the heart of the seas. But you're only a man, not a god. You set your heart like the heart of God. Therefore, so says Hashem, because you place your heart as the heart of a god, therefore I will bring upon you strangers, the cruelest of the nations, and they will draw out their swords upon the beauty of your wisdom and desecrate your radiance. God says, I am going to tear you down. So now I have a problem, because I don't have a smoking gun. I don't have a moment in which Tyre did something that I can point to explain how we flipped from being so positive to suddenly being so destructive. Where did that happen? When did it happen? There are hints in what we've seen. But what is this actually about? Not only that, the sages pick up on this. So that in source number 11, the Gemara in Bava Basra talks about Hiram as becoming arrogant and God saying, I needed to humble people because I see what happens with Hiram. I'm not going into it in depth right now. In source number 12 as well, the Gemara in Yuma actually says, you know, because they were involved in building the temple, that's why the temple had to be destroyed. Specifically because the people of Tyre were involved, that's why it actually needs to be destroyed. So what happened to turn Tyre from friend to foe? That source number 12 is actually fascinating. If I get a minute at the end, I'm going to come back to unpack number 12 a little bit more because it also has resonance for Hanukkah. So if there's a chance, we'll do that. But the question here is, what is it that turned them from friend to foe? I have to give credit to two articles that were very helpful for me in learning about Tzur. One, the article I mentioned earlier from Rabbi Yitzhak Levi, Paulo Shel Shlomo Leman Beit Hashem, and the other, Rabbi Yigal Ariel, Habrit in Tzur. Both of those were useful for me. So I want to show you three approaches to what this is about. Approach number one is sort of the conventional approach in Tanakh. The conventional approach to why anybody is an enemy of the Jews is because they betrayed us. They did something that undermined us. And we saw elements of that in Amos. We saw it in Yoel. Selling us to Edom, selling us to the sons of the Greeks, encouraging our foes to harm us. Now, when he says sons of the Greeks, by the way, you understand that we have to figure out which Greeks this is, because they're before the Greeks at this stage, before the Greeks that we are familiar with, like the Hanukkah Greeks. That's its own discussion. That's not for right now. But the first approach is to say that the prophecies we are seeing here about what Tyre does to us are actually prophecies of what is going to happen and the time of the Second Temple. They are going to turn us in to Rome. That's one idea. Radak says that, for example. He says, this was also in the exile of the Second Temple, for Tyre was close to Israel. Therefore, it said, for handing them over. Amos said, they handed us over to Rome. Abarbanel suggests it as well in his introduction to our chapter in Yeshaya, where he says that they kidnapped Jews and sold them to the Greeks, distancing them from their land. They're basing that on the verses that we saw in Yoel. That's one possibility. Within this school of thought, and by the way, I actually saw something just the other day. You know, they're doing a lot of archaeological research in Israel now using geomagnetics in order to date events. And basically the way it works, if I understood the articles correctly, is that when iron burns, then the particles themselves, I guess it's the electrons, line up like being magnetized. I wasn't reading it planning to speak about it, so I didn't like read it that carefully, but essentially, when you analyze carbon, when you analyze things that have been burned, you're able to date the event based on the alignment of the magnetic particles in it. More than that, you have to read. I don't know. You look around for it online and you'll see. But the reason I mention it is because you find texts that talk about Edom being involved at the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the first temple. But Edom, we always link with Rome. We think of them as second temple. But what the research seems to be determining is that there was an attack by Edom on a city outside Jerusalem shortly after the destruction of the first temple, the first Beis HaMikdash, which puts Edom now at that time as an aggressor. Not only Edom, Rome second, but Edom, original Edom. But that's a digression. The first approach is to say that Tzor becomes an enemy. Tzor, Tyre becomes an enemy because, yes, they were friends, and then they turned around and betrayed us to others. They sold us out. It's a standard lesson for Jews when dealing with non-Jews in Tanakh, which is to say, you know, they're your ally, but at some point they may have their own interest. That's one approach. Second approach comes from Amos Chacham, editor of the Da'at Mikra edition on Yeshaya. He says, when you look at the verses of Yeshaya and others, you realize that the issue is that they are dishonest in business or that they compete in a very harsh way. Take a look at source number 15. He says, it will be logical to say that the central intent of this masa, this prophecy, is to say that the sin of Tyre was in her commerce, because that's what she gets criticized for. And therefore, the prophet used Zinut as a metaphor for Tyre's commerce, meaning that, you'll see it in source number, well, take a look at source number 16. We might as well look at it. On that day, this is from that chapter in Yeshaya, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, like the days of one king. What that means, the reference to one king, is beyond the scope of what we're talking about right now. But Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years. At the end of 70 years, Tyre will experience, like the song of the Zonah, take a harp, circulate in the city, forgotten Zonah. We know that a Zonah is somebody of ill repute. Play well, increase song, that you might be remembered. In other words, Tyre is going to be looking for support anywhere they can get it. They will be circulating and selling themselves, is the image. And it will be at the end of 70 years, God will recall Tyre, she will return to her etnan, to her payment. She will be a zonah with all the empires of the land across the face of the earth. The image here, Amos Chacham says, is an image of somebody who sells themselves out and is willing to sell out others. That's the suggestion. So that the criticism of Tzor is that is their disloyalty to us, selling themselves and selling us. Clear? That's the second idea. Also spinning on the idea of betrayal, but it's also about the way that they engaged in commerce, not only selling us, but in terms of the way that they took advantage for money, for profit. But then you get the third approach, and I find the third approach fascinating. I mean, I see a lot of you here who have been at classes with me before, so you know, I always like the third approach. So the third approach here is just, it was mind-blowing when I saw this. It's also about the arrogance we talked about before, and it is about the wealth before, but this is really a message about Tyre being a bad influence on us. Because we know that Shlomo gets in trouble as he amasses gold on his expeditions with Hiram. Shlomo ultimately, leave him for his own topic, but becomes corrupted in some way. There's more to that. There's political marriages. There's more to be said. But that journey for gold is part of the problem. Amos, Yoel, Yechezkel speak of Tyre's arrogance. Yeshaya predicts a fall in disgrace suitable as punishment for those who are arrogant. And by the way, Yeshaya always likes to target the arrogant. Yeshaya, remember, is part of the royal family, and he's forever talking to kings and powerful people and saying, you're too arrogant, you're going to get torn down. So that's what he's doing here with Tyre as well. And what leads me to believe that this is accurate is the way that the text presents Tyre as a corrupted version of the Jews. They corrupt us, but they're presented as a corrupted version of the Jews. First of all, Ahav, King Ahav, marries Jezebel, who was the daughter of the king of Sidon. Right? That's a marriage with Sidon. That's one right there. It's actually in source number 17. That's number one. But number two, and more prominently, take a look at source number 18. I only brought the Hebrew for it because in the English it wouldn't make any sense. You have to follow the Hebrew here. Yeshaya describes Sidon as Bitulat Bat Sidon. The Bitula, the woman who has not been with a man before, daughter of Sidon. When he describes our downfall, he describes us as Bitulat Bat Sion. We are Bitulat Bat Sion, they are Bitulat Bat Sidon. He describes them as Kelilat Yofi, the crown of beauty. He describes us as Kelilat He doesn't. Yirmiyahu does. I'm confusing Yeshaya with others. Let me say this again correctly. The top line is both Yeshaya. You can see it in the heading in source number 18. Yeshaya calls them Betulat Bat Sidon and us Betulat Bat Sion. Klilat Yofi, Yechezkel calls Tyre Klilat Yofi, and in Echa we are called Klilat Yofi. Not only that, but if you look at the bottom section there, the long verse that I quote for you in source number 18 from Yechezkel, Tyre is described as being like Gan Eden, like the Garden of Eden. And they are described as having gems that are the gems that appear on the Choshen of the Kohen Gadol, Odem, Pitda, Yalom, Tarshish, Shoam, Yashvei, Sapir. Almost all of those are stones that appear on the Choshen. Tyre is a mirror image of us. And you could fit that in with some of the things we said earlier when we talked about the land swap before as well. There's a lot to be said. There's a lot that you can do with this beyond the scope of this half hour. But within this read, the lesson is not the nations are trying to harm you, but the nations may be a bad influence on you. And that's what we're talking about with, sorry, I see your hand, but I'm gonna have to take it after. So the question now is, why does Shlomo want a bris with Tyre? Right? Why is Shlomo pursuing a covenant with them? So the simple answer is, cause they were wealthy and they had resources and connections and it was a good idea to make a connection with them. However, Rabbi Yitzhak Levi has a fascinating theory. Take a look, please, at source number 19, where I translated a key part of it. He says, Tyre is peddler to the nations. That's their identity, Rochelat Ha'amim, as Yechezkel calls them. They're on the Mediterranean coast, the locus of trade and culture, as the prophets say, as noted in the section I brought you in 19. Tyre is a microcosm of all the nations. Its participation in building the sanctuary may herald the vision of the prophets that in the future all of the nations will recognize the monarchy of God and ascend for judgment in Jerusalem. In other words, at that time, Tyre was a suitable channel to connect the entire world with the construction of the sanctuary. Shlomo wants a deal with Tyre. He wants Tyre involved in building the Beis HaMikdash so that all of the nations via Tyre will be engaged in building the temple. Shlomo is trying to not preempt, but to speed up what Yeshaya ultimately predicted, which is all the nations coming to Har HaBayit, all the nations saying, we want to learn of God. Remember, you heard from Rabbi Gottlieb before when he talked about Yehoshua. Our original goal when we entered the land was not to fight wars against Canaan. Our goal when we entered the land was to convince people to become Gerei Toshav, to accept the 7 Noahide laws, the laws that are for all humanity. We weren't supposed to be fighting. We were supposed to be winning hearts and minds. We failed. Rav Kook says we failed because of the golden calf. We weren't such great role models. And what developed, developed. But that was never the mission. That was never the goal. Shlomo is saying, I want to go back to that. I want to make a deal with Tyre and through Tyre have influence on the nations to get everybody back on board again. That's Rabbi Levi's idea. Yeah, you have a port, you have a presence of people from all the nations. It's a fascinating, fascinating concept. And in fact, take a look at my last source. This is building on a verse in Yeshaya, which I brought you earlier, which said that it was the end of source number 16 was the verse that all of their wealth will be dedicated to God, shall be sacred to God. So Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra says in source number 20, that the goal here is a restoration of the covenant between Israel and Tyre, going back to David and Shlomo. Our ultimate goal is that Tyre will indeed be on board. Our goal is for them to be friend, not foe. However, I understand what went wrong, whether it was because they attacked us by betraying us to others, whether it was because of their rapacious economics, where they're attacking and financially, or whether I understand that they were a bad influence, the ultimate goal is the return of the vision of Tzor working with us side by side to build a Beis HaMikdash. Thank you very much.